We can call it that, where every family is a fortress. Guns are now the leading cause of death for American children, but many conservatives consider this a price worth paying for their version of freedom. Our institutions give these conservatives disproportionate power, whether or not they win elections. The filibuster renders the Senate largely impotent. Donald Trump, a former president who lost the popular vote, was able to appoint Supreme Court justices who are poised to help overturn a New York State law restricting the carrying of concealed weapons. It's increasingly hard to see a path to small-d democratic reform. And so among liberals, there's an overwhelming feeling of despair, even as people learn the names of all those murdered children. The most common sentiment is not never again, but a bitter acknowledgement that nothing is going to change. America is too sick. It is too broken. It is perhaps beyond repair. Two years ago, David French, an anti-Trump conservative, published a book, Divided We Fall, warning of the possible crack-up of the United States. It included two chapters imagining scenarios for how the dissolution of the country might happen. One scenario involved a mass shooting at a school in California, to which the state's people reacted with white-hot rage. David French envisioned furious state politicians defying the Second Amendment, leading to a nullification crisis and blue state secession. He meant it as a cautionary tale, but rereading the chapter after Uvalde, Texas, it feels less bleak than our reality. In David French's scenario, atrocity has the effect of energizing people rather than immobilizing them. They are determined to fight, not resigned to defeat. They have audacity and hope. The real nightmare is not that the repetition of nihilist terrorism brings American politics to an inflection point, but that it doesn't. The nightmare is that we simply stumble on, helpless, as things keep getting worse.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. This is Viewpoints. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio for today's discussion are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Rouhani and Brother Habib. Sheikh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And Brother Habib, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah for having me.
So during the month of Muharram, for the Shiite world, can say so many memorial sessions, ceremonies, and mourning sessions, processions are held in remembrance of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and the tragedy of Karbala. And there have been so many ways, or it's better to say so many medium, in order to preach the true message of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam all across the world during the history, from 61 AH up until now in today's world. But always literature and poetry, it's better to say, poem and prose, you know, has been a nice medium in order to talk about Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, up to an extent that nowadays in the mourning processions and the, we can say, mourning gatherings that are done for Imam al-Hussein, one inevitable part is, for example, reciting out the Noahs or the poems, or we can say the eulogies on Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam in this way. How literature and poetry can keep the memory of Imam al-Hussein alive, especially in today's world. Brother Habib, blessings are with you.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. There's this concept that the importance of poetry, poem is, altogether is considered art.
Yes.
It's considered culture. The Arabs used to be very strong in this side of their art, their culture. Poems save history. They save the memories. They give it this artistic look, this artistic illustration that really is like a magnet to the mind to remember and save this history in their minds. And that is why that the Umayyads themselves hated when people used to say poems about the Prophet and his household.
Okay.
They would try to make people to give poems about them. That is why the caliphs, whenever they would sit on the chair, the Abbasid caliphs, they would sit on their chairs, they would wait for poets to come and say poems about them so that their names could be saved in the stars of poetry and literal history.
Okay.
And that really goes also to the fact that how the Prophet ﷺ used to hate the poetry of Al-Jahiliyyah because it was bringing the culture of Jahiliyyah inside Islam.
You mean the tribal values?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The tribal values. And like, for example, we have this poem that we kill first, then we ask what happened. If our cousins come calling, this is a translation of a poem. If our cousins come calling for hardship, we go and kill, then we ask what happened. So that's a Jahili mindset.
Yes.
It's not talking about the truth. It's talking about go ahead and just say, this is my tribe. I'm going to kill anyone that comes against my tribe.
Okay.
So it really saves the history. And that is, and that really doesn't change. We have that the Imam alayhi salam emphasized the fact about writing poetry about Imam Hussein alayhi salam precisely.
Yes.
And about them as well. And the presents and gifts that they give to the people who, you know, say the poems. I want to bring up a general example. When Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam was entering Mecca and entering Baytullah al-Haram, and in one narration it was that he was going to place the black stone into its place, and another that he wants to touch it, another he wants to touch the Kaaba. So people split up.
Mm-hmm.
And then the caliph at the time was like, who's this? Trying to belittle the imam. So Al-Farazdagh stands up and says, هَذَا الَّذِي تَعْرُفُ الْبَطْحَاءُ وَطْأَطُهُ وَالْبَيْتُ يَعْرُفُ وَالْحِلُّ وَالْحَرَمُ. This is the man that Al-Batha, the place, you know, the location of it, knows his walk. The house knows him. Al-Hillu, outside of the Haram, knows him. And Al-Haram knows him as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying, you're denying someone that everyone, everything sacred and holy knows him.
Okay.
So that means you're not sacred and holy. That's also some kind of hit.
Yes.
It's a long poem. Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam, thanks for him to saying that poem.
Yes.
And other than that, we have the stories about where Da'ab al-Khaza'i would come and state.
Let's keep them. Go for the Sheikh Rouhani.
Go ahead. And if I have a chance to talk about the beauty of poems and the illustrations that they give, inshallah.
Especially Imam Hussein, I want to ask you about the eloquent Arabic poems regarding Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. I'll get back to you. Okay, Sheikh Rouhani, what's your take on that, brother?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Poetry and poem, which is termed in logic as provocation, is really significant and important because the ordinary people, I mean the majority of people, they are very much actually interested in a kind of melodic or rhymed kind of verses or speeches or sayings and these kind of forms.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you see that the Holy Quran itself is also a kind of melodic or melodious kind of verses we have in the Holy Quran. That's why it was welcomed by the majority of the people and the Arabs. That's why we see that shi'r and a poem is considered very much important by Amir al-Mu'mineen, by Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, and Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam, and the other Imams, Imam Rida. For example, we have great poet in the history that they were appreciated by the Imams. Look at, for example, the poet who came to Khurasan and and recite a very nice poem for Imam Rida alayhi salatu wasalam.
Yes.
And Imam Rida himself added some verses to that poetry that was composed by that person. I forgot his name. So the poet was Da'b al-Khuza'i, radwanullahi ta'ala alayhi, who was really appreciated by Imam Rida alayhi salatu wasalam. And Imam Rida himself added some poems to his composition. So, of course, it plays a very important role in keeping in our mind and actually in remembering and commemorating the event of Ashura, and also to preaching the true message of Islam, the true message of Ashura. And of course, the A'imma alayhi salatu wasalam was sitting and listening to the poets, mm-hmm. listening to those people
yes.
who recited an eulogy and also this kind of
know-how. So you are not against the sayings of those people who we cannot use, for example, art or artistic form for spreading the message of Imam al-Hussein or Islam? You are not against that?
No, there's no problem with that,
okay.
because even at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the battlefields, sometimes
yes.
there were some kind
okay.
of poets and reciters
yes. Yes.
Who were reciting some kind of melodic kind of verses, and okay. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself appreciated them.
That's all right. Since art and poem and poetic forms are something very much related to the human talents, and the messages of the infallibles were something divine, so it seems at the first look to be unadjustable, not in harmony with each other. I mean, for example, the artistic forms and the arts and the poems, okay? And then getting, for example, the pure content into this form of the art, like painting, like cinematic works, like literature and poetry and prose, seems to be very much difficult, isn't it?
I have this belief that art is not understood unless you're an artist.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're an artist yourself.
Okay.
Or you at least understand what the artist was trying to illustrate, let's say.
Okay.
Like whether being a painting, a statue, anything. The poems as well do not differ. And I've sat a lot with high prestige poets of our time.
Mm-hmm.
Whether be it poets specifically in the Imam Hussein concept. Whether be it, with
the general poets.
General poets.
Yes.
Of course, the poets back then were much stronger.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, I have some of my friends who are really good poets, and
okay.
They give out to big
mm-hmm.
names
mm-hmm.
for them to recite. Brought up this example, which was a poem stated during the times of the Imam alayhi salam. Qumi yabnat al khair, talking to Sayyid al-Zahra alayhi salam.
Yes.
Qumi yabnat al khair, wundu bi najum al samawati bi ardi fulati.
Mm-hmm.
Or falati, difference in the
yes.
way of its recitation. The meaning of it is that, the general people won't look at it. Oh, Fatima al-Zahra, stand up and, cry for the stars who have been, killed.
Yes.
But there's a deeper meaning to it.
Mm-hmm.
Ardi falawat is usually red,
mm-hmm.
a red ground.
Yes.
And the stars usually shine bright.
Mm-hmm.
What it's trying to say is that, oh, daughter of the best of the creations, come and cry for the stars that are shining bright. He portrays the marchers during of Karbala. Their faces are shining bright.
Yes.
During on a red ground. See the different
yes.
aspects between the
yes.
two. The second one is very detailed.
Mm-hmm.
It's showing that there is so much blood
mm-hmm.
that the ground is red.
Red. Yes.
And it's showing their beauty when they were killed, that they are shining bright like how the stars shine bright.
Oh.
So that's something, that's the beauty of a poem. It's in two words, three words.
Yes.
And only a person with artistic taste knows this meaning
mm-hmm.
or looks at it in this way.
Mm-hmm.
Another person does not understand this.
Yes. I mean, the literal meaning does not help you
yeah,
here.
Yeah, it does not
okay.
help. But this really just helps the people with high knowledge, with high class, to remember these details, to keep in their mind these details, and for them to, preach these details.
That's right.
So it's just one verse, and this verse itself contains so many meanings
yes.
that have been put into it.
Yes.
That
okay.
the poet tries to illustrate. So I think that there is a way of, combining what
yes,
you stated in the beginning.
I'll get back to you with more examples from the Arabic language on Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Sheikh Rouhani giving us some examples in Persian. I mean, we got so many Persian poets, and poetesses during the history talking about Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam.
Yes, before mentioning some
okay.
poems, I wanted to add some more points regarding the previous points that
okay.
I was talking about. When we study the history of the Western civilization,
mm-hmm.
We see that by the help of novels, poems, dramas, these kind of artistic kind of models of saving and keeping their heritage, I mean their ancient heritage. They actually kept it in the minds of the modern people, and still now the people are familiar with many of those novels and stories and, let's say, poems in the ancient time. So that's why I think when it comes to the English literature for Muslim people who speak English, they have to actually pay attention to these kind of things. I mean, novels, yes. Dramas, movies, theaters, these yes. kind of arts.
Yes.
Because this kind of things has a great effect on the people. Mm-hmm. And the people welcome it, and the people will take lots of lessons from this kind of novels, theaters, movies.
Yes.
So that's why I think it's better to actually focus on this kind of means
or equipment. For the modern new generation.
Yeah, for the modern generation, modern Muslim generations.
That's right. Okay.
So I have contact with many of Muslim, young Muslim and Shia Muslim people. You know, sometimes they even do not know anything about Imam Hussein. Uh-huh. They do not know anything about the Immas. So that's why if you produce a very, for example, beautiful and perfect kind of movie, or if you write a very perfect poem and a novel and story and
yes.
a drama, these kind of things, and lots of people will get familiar with Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, yes. will get familiar to the teachings, doctrines and messages of Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. So that's why I think poetry plays a very great role.
That's right.
That's why Muslim generations, particularly the modern Muslim generation, have to pay attention to these kind of things.
And about the examples?
About the examples, let me just recite a poem that I myself composed about Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam and Ashura and the day of Ashura. It is about Hazrat Abbas alayhi salatu wasalam when he approached to the water. Ahmad nashast mahvet tamashay ab shud anduh mah dar nafas ab qab shud. When the river saw this beautiful moon,
yes.
the moon of the
Hashemites,
yeah.
Yes.
یک پیل دید جلوه ماه قبیله را خورشید بعد از آن قمر ماهتاب شد.
Wow.
It says the sun becomes like a qamar for this moon that he
yes.
saw, that so beautiful moon.
Safeguarding the moon
yeah,
around.
Of course, yeah.
Very good. Beautiful.
So, yeah. یک جرعه تا که دست تمنای آب کرد. When he approached his hand to the water, دریا شهید چشم تر آفتاب شد.
Wow.
Then the river saw the eyes of sun that was
the whole ocean become the martyr
yeah. Yeah, the
for
martyr
the for
of,
the for the tears of
course,
the eyes
yeah.
of Qamar bin Yasha.
Then دلدار تشنه مانده علمدار اسیر دست. Imam Hussein was thirsty, but
yes.
But Abul Fadl Abbas had no arms, had no
yes.
hands. دلدار تشنه مانده علمدار اسیر دست. دریا دلش برای همیشه کباب شد. It was the river
that was drought
yeah.
in the heart.
Yeah.
That's
so
right.
So حس کرد حرم داغ جگر سوز مرد را آتش گرفت یک جریان مذاب شد. When the river saw these things,
yes.
the river itself got like fire.
Like a fire,
like a
fire, volcano.
Yeah. Burning, yeah.
Yes,
inside
burning.
Itself, the river burning.
Yes. Wow.
Was burning, yeah.
Consider that how the river is going to burn
yeah.
because
yeah.
of the tragedy that took
the tragedy
place
of,
on that
yeah,
time.
This,
really beautiful, okay.
Yeah. فریاد کرد خون آتش شیر خاره را طوفان شد و جهان پر اشک رباب شد. When Ali Asghar Samullah Ali,
yes.
when he was actually
beheaded,
so then there was a kind of blood that was, what was
thrashed
that?
Out, gushed
yeah,
out.
Yeah, plastic gushed out, exactly.
Yes, the blood gushed out.
Then دلدار آمده است و بیدل تمام چشم. When Imam Hussein alayhi salam came to Abul Fadl alayhi salatu wasalam, Abul Fadl become like the whole existence of Abul Fadl become like eye, like an eye.
Yes.
To see in the last moment Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, the beautiful Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. There was the last chance that Imam Abul Fadl Abbas had to see Imam Hussein. So he become like an eye. Like eyes.
The whole become an eye.
The whole become an eye, yes.
Okay.
محو محاسن است که در خون خضاب شد. He was looking at the mahasan of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, but he knows that after Abul Fadl Abbas, what will happen to this mahasan?
Hmm.
So that's
to the
why,
beard
yeah,
of Imam
yeah.
Hussein alayhi salam filled with
yeah,
blood.
Yeah.
Really beautiful. Really beautiful.
Thank you.
Okay, Habib, what do you have for us?
One of the poems that was recited for Imam, towards Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is available in Thawab al-A'mal, Aqab al-A'mal, Sheikh al-Saduq. If I'm not wrong, it was by Sayyid al-Humyari. And anyway, he starts off by stating, أمرر على جثث الحسين وقل لأعظمه الزكية. Go and visit the body of Hussein and state to the most of his body. You understand what he wants to say?
Okay.
The most of his body. And that is pretty much just remembering the people that his head was not buried in Karbala.
Oh.
That's a reference to that the most of his body, either because his pinky was not available,
yes,
as in some narrations his foot was not available, and in some other narrations that his head was not available. So that could be, you know, this by itself is just a topic with so many meanings in it. And of course, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, when he heard this poem, when he started hearing, he started crying. And then the women inside the rooms started crying as well. Their voices heightened in crying. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam then stated, whoever recites a poem and makes 10 people cry, lahu al-jannah, paradise is his. If he makes 5 people cry, paradise is his.
Okay.
If he makes 1 person cry, paradise is his.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the poem continues and states to reaches ما لذ عيشٌ بعد رضك بالجياد الأعوجية. When you're talking to that body, say that life has no taste in it. Life has no happiness, no joy in it. After your body had been crushed, it had been, you know, there is this, you know, رض, it gives out this specific meaning. This is the beauty, yes, of the Arabic language. رض, the vibration, the shaking,
yes,
of, you know, when it gets smacked,
yes,
when the body gets smacked and, you know, pounded,
yes,
that vibration, that's the meaning of rad,
yes,
right? بالجياد الأعوجية, which pretty much means that, you know, the movement of the horses.
The trampling of the horses.
The trampling
the
of the horses. قَبْرٌ تَضَمَّنَ طَيَّبًا آبَاءُهُ خَيْرُ الْبَرِيَّةِ. A grave that holds a figure whose parents, whose grandfathers, whose ancestors, whose lineage are the greatest of creations. آبَاءُ أَهْلُ الرِّيَاسَةِ وَالْخِلَافَةِ وَالْوَصِيَّةِ. His forefathers, his lineage, is our rulers, are supposed to, yes, be, you know, caliphs, are those who are the authorities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْخَيْرُ وَالشِّيَمُ الْمُهَذَّبَةِ الْمُطَيِّبَ الرَّضِيَّةِ. With high characteristics. Of course, each word, yes, by itself, yes, could be explained for like 3 minutes, 4 minutes, these, yes, 4 or 5 characteristics.
Okay.
فَإِذَا مَرَرْتَ بِقَبْرِهِ فَأَطَلْ بِهِ وَقْفَ الْمَطِيَّةِ. When you reach his grave, stand and take your time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's out of your hands. When you reach the grave of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, it's like a magnet.
Mm-hmm.
You can't leave.
Okay.
It's very hard for the lover of Imam Hussein alayhi salam to leave. وَلْعَنْ صَدَى عُمْرُ بْنَ سَعْدٍ وَالْمُلَمَّعِ بِالنَّقِيَّةِ. And then curse upon those, yes, who have called for the killing of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. It's a very long poem.
That's right. You said by Sayyid al-Himyari.
Yes, Sayyid al-Himyari, if I'm not wrong. I hope
right.
It's true. I think,
okay,
it's Sayyid al-Himyari.
Okay, but it was done.
It's available. It's available in Thawab al-Amal.
Okay,
Thawab al-Amal by Sheikh al-Saduq, and
okay,
the story of the Thawab, okay, and it's available over there.
That's all right. Really, when you listen to these poems and pieces of, you know, artistic works, you can listen it till next morning, 24 hours going on with translating, because so many beautiful content is in that, you know, as you said, the artistic form and the artistic format really helps a lot in order to spread the true message of Islam, message of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Thank you much, Brother Habib and Sheikh Rouhani, for your presence in the program Viewpoints. It was very kind of you. And thank you much, dear listeners. We hope you enjoyed today's episode of the program Viewpoints. To another episode, God bless you all. Assalamu alaikum, ya Abu Abdullah Al Hussein. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li Aliin wa Husayn wa Hasan. Li Aliin wa Husayn wa Hasan. كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا. Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and today on the start of the morning month of Muharram, we start the day by pondering upon a wise saying from the immortal martyr of Karbala, Imam Hussein, peace be upon him. Whoever uses symbolism in religious matters will always remain in confusion, deviated as he stumbles off the right path, sticking to deviation wherever he goes, straying off the right course, and saying bad and worthless things.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or Bat 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Living through a pandemic is strange as we are often locked indoors, but a UK-based Indian mechanical engineer made the best use of his time during the coronavirus lockdown and built an aeroplane. 38-year-old Ashok Ali Serial, who is also a private pilot, had long dreamt of a personal aircraft. He initially planned to order an aircraft kit and built it with his colleagues. But he says the 2020 lockdown left him with no choice but to complete it on his own. Now he has an aircraft which he has named after his youngest daughter, Dia. The plane can carry up to four people, including the pilot, and fly about 250 kilometers an hour. After getting clearance to fly, he flew across four European countries with his friends. He has also gone on a trip with his family of four. Some gardens are decorated with genomes and other cute ornaments, but this garden uses tank debris to stand out amongst others. The intention of the gardener isn't to have the most army-themed patch. Valeria tried to remove the tank, but ultimately because of its size and weight, it was impossible. So he just let it stay. The owner says he is used to having the tank there, even though it reminds him of hard times. Next to the wreckage, this family has planted cabbage and potatoes, which they harvest and use each year. The tank was left over from the war between Russia and Ukraine that began earlier this year. British paleontologists have made an exciting fossil discovery which has been identified as the earliest known animal predator.
It's quite a large fossil. The preserved part is at least 20 centimetres tall, and it would have lived attached to the seafloor bottom. But it's a broken specimen, so we actually don't know how large the entire colony is. This is only a fragment of it.
Wilby says the animal had a stalk and a cup on top with little tentacles, which most likely used to catch food out of the water. The ancient animal is related to sea anemones, jellyfish and corals, and pushes the known existence of these species back to 20 million years. Wilby explains the fossil displays a key point in the evolution of animal. The fossil is said to be around 560 million years old and was discovered in Charnwood Forest, northern England, amongst over 1,000 other fossils.
Summer heat is here and zoos are working to not only keep visitors cool, but animals safe during the hot weather. A Belgian zoo takes extra precautions to help animals survive a fierce heat wave that has left Western Europe sweltering. Pyrenees Zoo, located in Wallonia in the province of Hainaut, provides animals with frozen food, fruit suspended in water and extra showers. It has also created extra shaded areas with good ventilation along with water points to ensure animals have access to them. Zookeepers say managing animals in high temperatures requires good forward planning. Zoos across the world have a variety of responses to keep animals cool, so we humans are not the only creatures who feel significant stress during the hot months. Animals, too, are impacted by it.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Iran's city of Rafsanjan has hosted an international talent contest dubbed Stage Stars. The event is aimed at providing a chance for stage talents from across the world to come in the spotlight. Yusuf Jalali reports from Rafsanjan. Let's check it out.
This is a global stage for talents. The 5th International Stage Stars Festival wrapped up with the announcement of winners, who have been competing in 4 categories of singing, voice acting, show hosting, and sound impression. The top performances from each category won the golden mic and a cash prize.
The festival was a place for more serious competition between those who have a say in a stage performance. I'm so happy to be chosen by the jury as the best show host of the contest.
It was an amazing event for talents. I'm so glad to be part of this. Talents from all across Iran and many parts of the world competed in the festival, so winners should be proud of themselves.
Held in Iran's city of Rafsanjan, the 2-day event brought together participants from 14 countries, including Iran, Afghanistan, Kyrgyzstan, Nigeria, and Turkey, to flaunt their knack for stage performance.
The scale of this contest is global. Many of us participants did not have any idea we could be stand-up comedians or show hosts. But when we got on stage here, we ourselves discovered our own talents.
I really love that, seeing that all people around the world are coming here and presenting themselves. It's a very great feeling. Of course, they will be progressed and they will develop yourself when they will got the result.
The jury is comprised of top Iranian actors, TV presenters, and voice artists. They say the competition has been tough, and those who stood out are real stage stars.
We tried our best to pick talents who really acted like professionals on stage. Not only should they care about the standards and principles of a stage performance, but they must innovate, improvise and stand out.
This festival acted like a university for stage talents. It taught a lot of lessons about the stage to participants, especially for those who failed to win the contest.
Organizers say this contest is not just about scouting for stage talents. They say the event helps shine a spotlight on talents and lead them to their community.
The fifth Stage Stars Festival is aimed at bringing stage talents to light. Many of the participants already have a few years of experience, so this stage is not supposed to discover them, but to springboard them to a higher level in their careers.
All of the contestants, even those who come from foreign countries, must perform in Persian. However, organizers plan to include other languages in the upcoming editions of the festival.
To those who won the golden mic here, this is a dream come true. But they say, aside from the prize, Stage Stars has marked a milestone in their pursuit of success, since they have now come under the spotlight. Yusuf Jalali from the city of Rafsanjan.
Age is just a number when it comes to pursuing your goals. That's what 98-year-old Italian man Giuseppe Paterno has proven. Paterno has become the oldest university graduate in his country for the second time. In July 2020, he was graduated in history and philosophy from the University of Palermo. 2 years on, he's now got a master's degree in the same subjects. Paterno grew in a poor family in Sicily and always had a desire for learning. But he was unable to go to university at a young age. He finished high school aged 31, 6 years after he got married. Paterno's love to study or for study never stopped, making him enter the university in his 90s.
The biggest and brightest supermoon of 2022 has risen with a crimson hue above horizons across the globe. It's also known as a buck moon because it falls in July. The name does not come from its appearance. You won't see the shape of a deer on the moon's surface or anything. It refers to something that happens in nature at this time. It's called a buck moon because the antlers of male deer or bucks are in full growth in July. Supermoons occur when a full moon comes closest to Earth in its orbit. This is not the last supermoon of 2022. There will be another in August, marking the final supermoon in this year's set of four. During a routine X-ray examination of one of Van Gogh's paintings, art conservators at the National Galleries of Scotland have discovered a secret self-portrait.
When we saw the X-ray for the first time, of course, we were hugely excited, absolutely thrilled to bits. Such a major discovery of an alternative composition happens once, twice in a conservator's lifetime.
The self-portrait was found during an examination of an 1885 painting by Van Gogh as the museum was prepping for an upcoming exhibition on Impressionism. Hidden from view for over a century, the self-portrait is on the reverse side of the Dutch artist's painting called The Head of a Peasant Woman. It was found beneath cardboard and layers of glue. Van Gogh is known to have often reused his canvases, working on their reverse side as well.
When he took the painting to Paris, he didn't have very much money. He was scrabbling around and decided clearly to use the back of these series of paintings that he'd brought with him from the Netherlands to Paris to explore self-portraiture for the first time.
Experts at the museum believe the materials covering the self-portrait were applied in the early 20th century before the art went on display. Art historians say when Vincent van Gogh was low on money, he took to painting on both sides of his canvases, but over the years, some of his reverse side paintings were covered up and lost. The X-ray image will feature at the Royal Scottish Academy in Edinburgh starting in July.
Children, same is the light of guidance and the ship of salvation.
IRIB English Radio in the month of Muharram presents today's special. Every day for 15 minutes.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Salamun Alaikum. This is today's special. We're going to speak about the movement of Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him. I invite you to listen to this episode of today's special. Accept our condolences on martyrdom anniversary of Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him.
As-salamu alayka ya Sayyida Shuhada. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله.
But first, we'll look at the calendar. Today, Saturday, is the 1st of Muharram, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 8th of Mordad, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar. And the 30th of July, 2022, of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's listen to a chapter of the Holy Quran, chapter Isra, verse 33.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. ولا تقتلوا النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق ومن قتل مظلوما فقد جعلنا لوليه سلطانا فلا يسرف في القتل إنه كان منصورا.
And do not kill the soul which Allah has forbidden except by right. And whoever is killed unjustly, we have given his heir authority. But let him not exceed limits in the matter of taking life. Indeed, he has been supported by the law.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
To protect the oppressed is one of Allah's ways of treatment. The issue dealt with in this verse is respect for human blood and utter prohibition of murder. In questions, we have it that one of the examples of the heir of the blood is Hazrat Mahdi, peace be upon him, who will take his vengeance of his grandfather Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him. We have appointed to his heir authority to demand blood compensation or retaliation. As a preventive measure, the divine support of the oppressed and the according of the right of one's heir to retaliation and the consignment of such a right to the heir are noteworthy. It is also a preventive measure for preventing over retaliation.
On the month of Muharram and the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his family and companions, be with today's special.
Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein.
Every day from IRIB English Radio.
People rise up and mourn, it is Ashura. See the struggle of Hussein in the Kabbalah.
One question that is related to our today's topic. Why Muharram and why mourning? When certain seasons of worship come around, like the month of Ramadan and Muharram, it is very important that we reevaluate ourselves to see what blessings we have gotten from them. Were they in proportion with the power of the season? Have we preserved these blessings? How can we best invest these blessings after the season is over? Many people are pleased with the condition they have at the time without worrying about what will come after the season. The devil is eager to take away whatever the believer has earned at the first possible opportunity. Are we cautious about that? The movement of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam was a method for dealing with one's own soul and with others. For he wanted to teach us a lesson about servitude at every stage of his blessed movement. Sayyid Abbas Razavian.
Many times when we think about and ponder about the ziyarat of Ashura, it is important for us to know that when you say salams and you give your salutations to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, that itself is something good. That this is what the angels are doing. This is what the creation is doing, that they are crying for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. But even though it itself is something good, they call this mawdu'i, its subject, it itself is something good. We are looking to get something out of Ziyarat Ashura. And this we can call it tariqi, meaning this is a path for us to refine ourselves. There is a spiritual journey inside Ziyarat Ashura. And inshallah, in the following days, we're going to be talking about some of the journeys that we start. For example, when we think about bala and we think about the calamity of Ashura, which is the first step we'll be talking about, inshallah. Then we'll be talking about the great grief of Ashura, making sure that we are in line with Imam Hussein, that his affliction is our affliction. And then we'll be thinking about having silm with Imam Hussein, meaning that we are peace with him. We are at peace with those that follow him. We are in the camp of Imam Hussein. And then, inshallah, we'll reach Maqam Mahmud, which is the position of Imam Hussein, which is the position of the Holy Prophet, which is the praiseworthy status. So Ziyarat Ashura is a spiritual journey for us. As you know, one of the important lessons of Ziyarat Ashura is that Mahdawiyat or Mahdism is inside of Ziyarat Ashura. That we pray that we become the companions of Imam Mahdi, that he will revenge those that have oppressed Imam Hussein, that we can become his companions, and that we can help him and aid him as he seeks revenge from the oppressors of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So inshallah, this Muharram, this is a time for us to refine ourselves, to increase our spirituality. And we can do it with this great gift from Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam by reciting Ziyarat Ashura in our centers, by reciting Ziyarat Ashura at home, by thinking about the Arabic meaning of Ziyarat Ashura, by implementing this.
Ya Hussein, Hussein, Hussein. Ya Hussein, Hussein.
Lessons of Muharram.
Ya Hussein, Hussein, Hussein. Ya Hussein.
You are with today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're speaking about Imam al-Hussein's movement. Submission to Allah's will. This is the title of this short part. Imam al-Hussein knew about his fate from a young age when his grandfather, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, would mention how he will be left alone in a land called Karbala. Yet Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him, always accepted his fate, and even on the day of Ashura, when he was left all alone. He never doubted Allah's plan. Abu Abdullah's submission to Allah Almighty is most evident through the eloquence of Dua Arafah, where for the entirety he was praising Allah and giving gratitude, and only at the end he asked for protection against the hellfire. This, therefore, teaches us a significant lesson in always submitting to Allah, even in the most difficult times. On the continuation of today's special, we have this part, the golden words of Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him. For knowing Abu Abdullah, let's notice his words. Among the edicts of the Lord of the Martyrs, Abu Abdullah, al-Hussein ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon them, which he delivered, was this speech before his companions. O people, truly, Allah did not create His creatures other than that they might come to know Him. And when they know Him, they will become His servants and worship Him. And through being His servants and worshiping Him, they will become free of the need to worship any other. At this point, a man said, O son of the Messenger of Allah, what does it mean to know Allah? Glorified and exalted be He. That eminent one replied, This knowledge for the people of any era is embodied in the Imam of their time, whom they are obliged to follow and obey.
There's one last thing that I'd like to mention today, and that is the correct way to perform Ziyarat Ashura. One of our great scholars by the name of Ayatollah Mirza Shirazi, that was very famous for the prohibition of tobacco during the Qajar era in Iran, he has a method to correctly recite Ziyarat Ashura. Because there are different traditions about how to recite it, he gets these traditions together and he has a formula for us. And I'd like to share this with you. This is the way that we should recite Ziyarat Ashura, according to Ayatollah Mirza Shirazi. He says that first, you should, of course, go to when you're far away from Karbala, you should go to an elevated place in your house. And there you do a salam to Imam Hussein, a salam that you, with intensity, that you cry. Then you do a curse on the oppressors of Imam Hussein. So you do a salam, and then you do a lan. Then after that, you recite 2 units of prayer. Then after this 2 units of prayer, you recite Ziyarat Ashura. And then when you're done, you recite another 2 units of prayer. So this method is a method that is ascribed to us by Ayatollah Mirza Shirazi. And therefore, you say a salam to Imam Hussein. You do a quick lan. And then you do 2 units of prayer, and then you do the Ziyarat Ashura. And if you don't have time to do the 100 salams and the 100 lands, you can make it sufficient by just saying As-salamu ala al-Husayn, wa ala Ali ibn al-Husayn, wa ala awlad al-Husayn, wa ala ashab al-Husayn. You can repeat this sentence 100 times. And then if you don't have enough time to recite the 100 lands, you could just say Allahumma al-anhum jami'a 100 times. Then when you're finished, you do the sujood and everything, and then you do two rakats of prayer. Therefore, Ziyarat Ashura has 2 two-unit prayers. Inshallah, we can recite and have tawfiq to recite Ziyarat Ashura this Muharram, and that we can benefit from it, and we can get the true rewards, as the traditions have, alf, sins will be forgiven, alf, rewards, thawab will be given, meaning 1 million thawabs, 1 million forgivenesses from our sins will be given. Inshallah, we will recite a salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Condolences to all Muslims all around the world on the month of Muharram when Imam Hussein alayhi salam was martyred in the land of Karbala. Dear friend, inshallah, we continue our discussion on the next episode of today's special. Until then, wassalamu alaikum. Allahumma ij'al mahyaya mahyaya Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa mamati wa mamati ومماتي ممات محمد وآل محمد. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.